Hello. In this video, we're going to look at preparation and preparing for a presentation and looking at the kind of key areas that we can and we need to consider when we're putting a presentation together. So I'll take you through an overview of the different areas, and then we'll start to look at some more in more detail. So here we are. There are lots and lots of quotes around preparation and performance and all that kind of stuff. But I want to really focus on the areas that we need to think about. We need to put the time and effort into preparing to make sure that that 20-minute performance, if you like, because a presentation is a performance, really, really works. And it's the stuff that goes in behind the scenes that really means that that performance works effectively. So let's look at what we need to prepare. So first of all, we need to think about purpose. So what is the purpose of the presentation? Is it to sell? Is it to communicate, inform, educate, entertain? What is it that we want to get across? And what do we want them to do as a result of being in the presentation? So we need to prepare the purpose. We need to think about the room. What layout do we need? What do we need to influence the room to get the best? This is like trying to sort the scenery out on a stage show. What does the room need to be like, the physical environment need to be like, so that we can get the best out of the presentation? What about the audience? We need to think about the audience. So what do they want to get from it? What would it be like sitting in their shoes? And we've got a technique called perceptual positions that can really help us with that. So we need to prepare for the audience, so that we can make sure that we speak the same language, that we get the message across in the right way for those people. What about the content? You know, that's really, really important. Of course it is. And often when people are putting presentations together, the content is the bit that they focus on. And you really need to prepare all the other stuff as well, because thinking about the purpose, thinking about the room, thinking about the audience informs the content and the way you're going to structure that content and put it together. We also need to think about what visual aids you're going to use. Are you going to use Flipchart? Are you going to use PowerPoint? Are you going to use examples? Are you going to use maps, drawings, diagrams, whatever it is that you're going to find is useful to get your message across? Because visuals are really important. And finally, what about yourself? How are you going to prepare yourself? So what do you need to do to prepare yourself? Not just about the way you look or think about your lines, think about how you're going to communicate what it is you want to communicate, but also what about your state? What state of mind do you need to be in? I know some people who say, I need to be a little bit nervous because I need to be able to perform, and I can only do that if I've got a bit of nerves. I prefer to feel really calm and relaxed and confident personally, and that I feel that's the way that I perform the best, but it's different for different people. So we'll show you how to prepare yourself with a technique called anchoring. So let's have a look at room. So what is it that you need to do to prepare for the environment that you're going to be in? Then we'll go on to look at audience, content, visuals, and so on. So preparing the environment that you're going to deliver in. So, you know, importantly, can you influence it? Can you influence it in any way? So if you get there early, can you move tables around? Can you change the direction that you present from? Can you go and stand somewhere else? Can you set a projector up somewhere differently? Or is it completely laid out? I mean, I've worked in lecture theatres where it's impossible to move the environment in terms of moving the furniture around. So you've had to work with what you've got to work with. Sometimes changing the environment can be really effective. So, you know, if you're presenting at an interview, for instance, sometimes changing the environment and moving things around to suit can be really powerful because it shows a confidence, it shows an element of control. And it shows that you are thinking about the environment as well as just going in and working with whatever you've got. Sometimes you can't influence it though, so you need to be prepared for not being able to influence it. Can you do anything about the heating or the cooling? Can you set the temperature in the room? Can you make sure that it's the optimum temperature? Because if it's too cold, people don't concentrate and aren't able to focus. If it's too hot, people aren't able to focus. And quite often, you know, especially if you've got that graveyard shift after lunch, in a hot room when people have just finished eating their lunch, they're quite likely to kind of drop off or at least lose that concentration and that focus. What about lighting? Is there anything you can do with lighting? In lots of rooms, you can at least turn out the lights at the front of the room so that, you know, the screen is bright and you can see the detail on the screen if you're using a PowerPoint projector. So you can see that really well. The problem with having all the lights on is that it often whites out the screen, so it's really hard to see it. So what can you do with the lighting? And find the best way to get the lighting set up so that you can, you know, you can perform that presentation in a way that keeps people's attention. What about equipment? What equipment do you need? What equipment have you got? I know it sounds like a really obvious thing to do, but the number of times that people that I've known, and I've been in that situation as well, where the equipment doesn't work. So, you know, back in the early days of me being in Cornwall, so getting on for 20 years ago, 22 years ago now, I was delivering a presentation to a group of people, and my laptop was more advanced than their projector. It was newer than their projector, and they wouldn't talk to each other. The refresh rate was wrong on the projector. So we had to go back to using an overhead projector, if anybody remembers those. But fortunately, I do prepare for equipment and equipment problems. So, you know, I have my laptop. I always have my presentation on a pen drive in case my laptop has broken, which it did. I was presenting at an international conference a couple of years ago, and my laptop just decided not to work. And fortunately, I got the presentation on a pen drive. We were able to find another laptop in the hotel and plug everything in, and it worked. But that was a pretty stressful 20 minutes. And to be fair, I always try and arrive half an hour early just in case that equipment doesn't work. I also always make sure I carry an HDMI cable and an RGB cable with me. I make sure I can present the presentation using Flipchart if I can't use the projector, to make sure that we can deliver it. Ever since, and understanding my equipment as well, because ever since I did a presentation in a lecture theatre once and I couldn't get my laptop to project, and I didn't know about the way that you can change from screen to projector and projector to screen and so on. So understanding your equipment is really important, and kind of assume that if it will go wrong, it will go wrong. So make sure you've got backups. When we had the refresh rate problem, I also had in my case overhead projector printed slides as well, just in case that happened. And so I was able to switch from one to the other. So equipment is really, really important. And preparing your equipment and preparing for the equipment going wrong is really important. What about the layout? So we talked about, you know, can you influence the layout in the room? So let's have a look at some typical environment room layouts that for certain situations and for certain purposes. Again, goes back to determining your purpose first. So some of the classic layouts you've seen before, the boardroom, so table there, or group of tables with everybody sat around it. There are advantages to a boardroom. It makes it easier for everybody to talk to each other across the table. It also makes it harder for people to see you if you're stood at one end of the table with a projector behind you and the screen behind you. So there are pluses and minuses depending on the sort of presentation you're delivering. If you're just giving people information, boardroom can work. In a small room, you can get a fair number of people around the table. They can talk to each other. It's not good for creating a rapport, building a rapport with somebody at the other end of the table because it's a long way away. And also people who are sat at the sides can't really see people other than the people who sit either side of them and the ones across from them. So it does have some benefits, but there are some negatives. It's not my favorite. It's the one I try and avoid all the time, if it's possible. Conference. So again, similar to the boardroom, except there's a bigger table and there's usually a gap in the middle so you can fit more people around it. So the same negatives, not so many positives, because it's harder for somebody to talk to somebody across the other side of that conference table. And it also means that whichever side you stand to do your presentation, there are going to be people who are having to crane their necks behind them to look at the screen if you're using the screen. So it's not the best format in terms of delivering a presentation if you're standing up at a screen or at a flip chart. Theatre, the benefit of a theatre style is that you can get a lot of people in a small space. Sometimes the people at the back can't see because they've got people in front of them who are taller. So from a purely information giving point of view, theatre works quite well. Or if you want to get a lot of people in a room, if you think about the TED Talks, for example, they're almost always done in a theatre style because you've got a lot of people in there to give information to a lot of people at the same time. So it can work really well in that sense. It's not so good for interaction between you and the audience. So in terms of questioning and comments and so on, it's difficult to set up a dialogue with a theatre style, partly because there's a lot of people in the room, but also partly because you're a long way away from the people at the back. Then we have the classroom style. So very similar to the theatre style, except everybody's got a desk. The advantages of that, of course, are that people have got something to lean on when they write. But again, you've got the difficulty of creating a dialogue with people who are further back. In this diagram here, there is at least a walkway from the front to the back, so you can walk around the room to an extent. It's a very formal style and is also kind of more around information giving or communicating. I know, you know, obviously we spent a lot of time in our classrooms being educated. So, you know, presumably education works reasonably well in that format. Not my favorite again. Cabaret style. Cabaret style is quite informal. You've got smaller groups, so you have ready-made syndicates for little group work because people are sat around the table. It works better with round tables than square tables. But again, the biggest problem with the cabaret style is that at least two people on each of those tables have their back to you as the presenter. So the way that you set those out can make a difference. And I tend to have the two, you know, only have, in that example, instead of eight round a table, just having six, so that the side that's nearest to the presenter doesn't have any chairs out. And if you can do that way, then it works quite well. You can walk around in between those tables. You can have conversations with groups of people or with individuals. So it's much more informal and much more effective in terms of dialogue and discussion. The classic training layout of U-shape, which has the benefit that anybody in the room can see you at the front and can see the screen if the screen's at the front. It also has the advantage that you can, as the trainer, walk into the U so that you can get close to the people in the room. You can have that dialogue and that interaction, and it works really well from that point of view, which is why it's a classic layout for training. And finally, the horseshoe or the U-shape without the tables. If I'm presenting in this style, and I do a lot, it's my preferred room layout, I won't have the desk in front of me as well. So there's no barriers anywhere. Some people find it quite difficult because quite anxiety provoking because there are no barriers between them and the trainer. And some people find it difficult because there's nowhere to rest a book to write on apart from your knee and so on. But it is my preferred layout, and I've been using this for 20 odd years for most of my training, wherever it's possible, because for a lot of people, it takes them out of their comfort zone slightly, but it also sends the message that this is different than what we're used to. And if it's different than what we're used to, people are going to have less preconceptions about what they're going into. I've always had the comments from people around, well, this feels like therapy. And so, you know, if it's a formal presentation, it's not the best approach. If it's a learning situation where people are going to develop new skills and are going to grow, then it's a really effective way of breaking down those barriers. And it also means that people can move chairs around. You can form little groups quite easily around the room just by moving the chairs. And, you know, it creates that kind of feeling of flexibility. So there we have it. We've got some general things we need to focus on in terms of preparation. and we've looked in a bit more detail at room layout and what you can do in terms of the environment, in terms of preparing for the environment. So being aware of the environment before you go is really important. And I always recommend, I mean, it's up to you entirely, but I like to be there like an hour before I'm due to present, if it's at all possible, because then I've got time to move furniture around. I've got time to set up projector and make sure that all of the IT is working. I've got time to make sure and chase down flip charts if we need flip charts. I have worked with one large retailer where, you know, we had to go out and actually buy some flip chart pads because there were none in the building at all before we could start the training. And if I'd got there just before we started, that would have been really difficult. So make sure you prepare, make sure you plan, but also make sure you get there in plenty of time to set up and make any changes that you can. Take control of the room, because the more control you can take of the room, the more confident you appear, even if you're not confident, and appearing confident is important. And so, you know, you are controlling, you're in charge of that room. And so people, as they walk in and sit down, are ready for some information and ready for that presentation. And in, you know, in other videos, we're going to look at preparing yourself, about preparing for the audience, about thinking about the content in terms of the content structure, and also preparing for those sort of visual aids. So are you going to use PowerPoint? Are you going to use flip charts or whatever? Mm-hmm.